Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
They are one for one. Now Trocheck, he's got the power play goal. To Aho. Aho. For D'Angelo. He walks the blue line. D'Angelo shot, he scores! Get fired up, Tony D'Angelo, on the power play. Carolina goes up 6-3.
All right, well, that obviously is a highlight from last year. Carolina Hurricanes' Tony D'Angelo, the Sewell, New Jersey native, scoring a goal. 215-592-9494. I'm going to ask the callers who are checking in on our issue of how you watch games to stay with us, because I don't want to lose that one. But, yeah, the Flyers, it was a big week for the Flyers. You had the NHL draft where they had the fifth pick of the draft and took a kid, Cutter Gauthier, who's a year or two away. Rob, I have no strong opinion on whether he's going to be any good or not. I mean, he seemed like it wasn't a reach of a pick, right?
Athletic and big. I like that he's going to get a little seasoning at BC, which works. He's versatile. He can play center. He can play wing. But, yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you, Glenn. I don't study it closely enough. It seemed I watched some of the reaction from people. Didn't feel like a reach where they took him. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They certainly need some offensive punch, that's for sure.
The bigger news is the acquisition of Tony D'Angelo, and they gave up three picks. They gave up a fourth rounder this year, a third rounder next year, and a second rounder in 2024. They then signed him to a two-year, $10 million extension. Pretty a lot of money.
Yeah, he was restricted, so they basically traded for his rights negotiating rights.
He had a nice offensive season last year, 10 goals and 41 assists in 64 games with Carolina, had a good plus-minus, had 10 postseason points in 14 games, but, as we have said, has a lot of baggage. Some of it on the ice, some of it off the ice. Let's go through some of it. I'll put it to you this way. I went online to find highlights of him to play the thing that we just played, and the first thing on Google is something that says, Tony D'Angelo top jerk moments, volume 1 and 2.
Oh, two volumes.
Yes.
Oh, good.
And I don't want to get into all the details of some of it. In brief, in a very quick version, he was suspended in juniors for using racial slur against his own teammate twice, once in juniors and once when he was with the Coyotes. He was suspended for abusing an official twice. Former New York Rangers coach David Quinn benched him for on-ice outbursts, and the team eventually waived him after he started a post-game fight with the goalie. There,
right.
And insulted the goalie during the air. He has been guilty of episodes of racism and homophobia. Now, last year in Carolina, he got a fresh start. And by all accounts, he handled it well under Rod Brindamore. We love Rod Brindamore. Runs a very structured operation down there. You don't mess around. D'Angelo said that he attended counseling classes, whatever that is. He expressed regret for things that he had said and done in the past. He made a fresh start and he did okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the lead on the national story. I think I was looking this morning on the Hockey News website. Okay. His downsides, though, are that D'Angelo gives up, and this is not related to his.
Yeah, this is not off the ice stuff, right?
Right. This is not off the ice stuff. His downsides, though, are that D'Angelo gives up a lot on the defensive end of the ice and brings a ton of baggage with him off the ice. Well, it's both. D'Angelo has already worn out his welcome in multiple organizations and is now set to join what is already his fifth different team at age 26. For a defenseman that produces the way he does, that should be an alarming red flag. Why doesn't anybody want to keep him?
Right. Okay.
I'll go to you.
Yeah.
I'll put that on your plate and let you deal with that.
So drafted by Tampa, then shipped to Arizona, then shipped to the Rangers, then shipped, well, basically waived and then picked up by Carolina, now with the Flyers. This is just since being drafted. He's 25, right? I mean, this is not an older player. He's 26. This is not an older player. I mean, you're dating back to 14 when he was drafted and he's on his fifth organization. That's a lot of movement. And Glenn, I'll even ask you, I hear you in all accounts, there wasn't a lot of, you know, shenanigans with him last year.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he not there? Why is he not, if he was so valuable to them, and the production's good, 64 games, 51 points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good production. I'll give you another one. Go back to the 2019-20 season with the Rangers. He puts up 53 points in 68 games. Yet next year they waive him because he's such a headache.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movement here with this guy. He needs to be paired with a phenomenally defensive defenseman and disciplined defenseman. Because, yes, he's going to give you a lot on the power play and he's going to score for you. But on the other end, he's a liability. So you gave a lot up for serious questions off the ice and a liability on the defensive end for a team that's, frankly, bad defensively.
Yeah, well, all well said. Last year, there was, you know, I'm reading as much as I can yesterday because when you talk about, you know, do you watch games, do you watch highlights? My watching of the Carolina Hurricanes at most is limited to watching highlights, and I don't watch a ton of those. But I read some stories about it, and it basically said that he's a good offensive defenseman who can help them in that regard. He had good numbers last year and likely was helped a lot by having Marek Slavin as a defensive partner in Carolina, who is regarded as one of the best defensive defensemen in the NHL. Who does he have here to play that role?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Provorov is at this point.
Well, he's not that, and I wonder if this moves toward a trade of Provorov, who's been, to me, huge disappointment from what I thought he was going to be.
I thought he was going to be a perennial all-star. I thought he was going to be a guy in any Norris Trophy conversation, but he's not. And I don't know if that's him or just they haven't developed him. Well, I don't know. But, yeah, there doesn't appear to be that player on the roster right now to pair with him. I can buy second chances. I can buy, you know, some things you didn't quite understand about the world and life when you were a kid. If that's the case, okay, I hope that is the case. But I see someone who is well-traveled, who actually has some talent, but for a team that really needs a defensive defenseman, not saying they don't need help on the power play because their special teams stink, quite frankly, but I don't see someone here who works well with him, at least right now, as we sit here.
Yeah, you saw what Chuck Fletcher said yesterday when asked about his defensive liabilities.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite quotes. We're not expecting Tony to come in and be an elite defender. We wanted to get him so we wouldn't have to defend as much in our own zone.
Yeah, it sounds like Ghost.
Yeah, who had a good season not here.
Right.
Yeah,
who went away from here and actually got back to being Ghost.
Yeah.
So, and there's been a lot. Yeah, they gave a lot up for him. For a team that's looking for stability, he doesn't feel like a stability kind of guy. You know what he feels like, Glenn? The kind of guy you bring into a team that's got an unbelievable culture. Like, he goes to the Patriots, cross sports here.
I gotcha.
He gets his act together.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like that. This is a good time right now. And with Tortorella, who I mentioned earlier, is a combustible cat to begin with, this has potential to go off the rails real quick.
Well, and I think that's going to be the interesting dynamic, and I think they had to have considered that and had to have discussed it with Tortorella, because you know that John Tortorella isn't going to put up with any of those things that we discussed off or particularly on the ice or in the locker room. You know, again, it's stuff that he has said, it's stuff that he has done on the ice, and it's also stuff he's brought to the locker room.
Yeah.
And you also know that playing in Philadelphia as a fan base and a media market isn't the same as playing and succeeding in Carolina. I'm not sure how this improves the locker room. It's certainly bad optics. It's not cheap. It's a 2-year, $10 million contract extension. I mean, is he gonna play ahead of Ellis? Is he gonna play ahead of Provera? What?
I think he plays. He may play in lieu of Ellis. I don't know. I mean, the quotes. The other thing, quotes from Fletcher regarding Ryan Ellis weren't real encouraging. So yeah. I just don't. I'm wondering if this is a precursor to, you know, not having Ellis around. I do wonder about that.
Maybe. So, I mean, I'll just kind of sum up in my mind, paying that much in picks and in salary for a 26-year-old player. And I understand 26 is not old.
No.
But it's not in hockey. It's not you're a rebuilding team. You're not a retooling team. You're not a team looking for that one guy. 26 is not young either. Paying that much for a guy with flaws on the ice and a very sketchy past, I don't know that that's the smart move for this team, for a team in rebuild. I don't know if he makes them more than marginally better. I mean, is he a nucleus guy? Is he a building block? Because if you're signing him like this, he's got to be. Last thing I'll say, and I'll kick it to you, is I appreciate that he had no issues last year in Carolina and under Rod Brind'Amour, and maybe he's matured. He's got family here. He's coming home. Maybe that all plays very well for him, and he's got support. Maybe he's changed his character. But as I look at this thing today, I'm pretty skeptical.
Yeah, look, if he's seen the error of his ways, and it's simply a matter of growing up, and that's what it is, and like you just mentioned, being surrounded by his family will help him as a support system. For all those reasons, you can get behind at least from the character standpoint. But I think there's also hockey flaws here. If there's more moves to come and you're pairing him with someone who is a really good defensive defenseman, then it makes more sense. And also, if you realize they've come to the realization that or they're just completely unsure about Ryan Ellis's return, then I get it. Like, I think it's the worst move in the world? No, but it feels like a lot for a guy with a lot of other stuff happening.
Yeah, well, they certainly, if nothing else, they put themselves in the news.
Well, they did, and you know,
we weren't going to discuss Cutter Gauthier a whole lot today.
No, they've done two things, Glenn, that have made them relevant, whether that's good or bad. Tortorella is one of them for sure. Tortorella is the kind of coach that brings you attention. It's not Dave Hackstall, where you're saying who, okay? And
I had the personality of a cardboard.
Oh
box.
God, Ryan Sandberg was a party compared to Dave Hackstall. I mean, but you, D'Angelo's a guy you're going to notice, okay? Right or wrong, good or bad, you're going to notice. So if the attempt is to sell some tickets and from a PR standpoint, get people interested again, we're talking about them when, frankly, we probably wouldn't give them the Flyers too much time just based off of Cutter Gauthier.
Yes, and if I may say to Tony D'Angelo, the only advice I have for you is stay off of social media.
Amen.
It does not appear to have served you well in the past.
And it's usually not a win period for athletes in a lot of ways.
Yeah, depending on you know what how they want to address it. Yeah. Let's get Neil up here in East Norton. Neil, what's on your mind today?
Well, Glenn, Rob, how are you doing today?
All right,
Neil.
Good. Well, I want to keep the conversation going with the Flyers. I don't know how I feel about the D'Angelo trade. That I look at it, it's only 2 years. I know $5 million is $5 million, but I just looked at their cap. They're only right now $100,000 over the cap. Chuck Fletcher said something the other day, even before they got D'Angelo. He said, we need to get bigger, faster, and quicker. So that's just about every component of the hockey team. They definitely got tougher and bigger with D'Angelo. Pound for pound, he's one of the toughest guys in the league. Old school Broad Street Bully fans will love the fact that he's a great fighter. I want to put all that to the side. This tells me, gentlemen, that Ryan Ellis isn't going to play a minute this year. They're going to stash Ellis's $6 million salary and use it to go sign Johnny Gaudreau this week and maybe even flip JVR to a team that has to get up to the cap like Seattle or Arizona. And then there's $13, $14 million to go sign Johnny Gaudreau. Do you buy any of that about Gaudreau coming to Philly?
I think there may be something to it, Neil. Yeah, for sure. I think that he would probably want to come here. I think, you know, look, the appeal to be home, I think there's a draw there, but you're also talking about a team that hasn't won a lot of hockey games. So that's really the rub there for Johnny Gaudreau. But I think it's possible. And like I said, they're trying to make noise this offseason, and that would be a real positive noisemaker for them if they could pull that off.
I agree. And, you know, the Fletcher comments saying that we want to get quicker, I mean, they're getting bigger just by getting some of these injured players back, Couturier, Kevin Hayes. Gaudreau fills a humongous need that was vacated after they traded Claude Giroux. You know, he's a more highly skilled Claude Giroux.
Oh, yeah. he's 10 years younger than Claude.
Phenomenal player.
He's an elite player, and he would also give them positive attention, which is something this franchise badly needs.
This takes the if it happened, it would take the notice off of D'Angelo, and all the focus would go on.
Yeah, it would be a big story. No, Robert wants to check in. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Let me get you on here. I just wanted to jump in because I just got out of the gym, and it was so cool. I turned you guys on. You guys were talking about the Flyers, and before I left, I was on Philly.com blogging a little bit about it. And I just think this move is a Fletcher move, man. I think he's worried about his job. He's, you know, this team needs to rebuild. He is trading every draft pick that we have away. I don't think we have a first one last year. We didn't have a second this year. Now he's giving away a second, third. I thought this team was rebuilding. You know, I mean, that's what they need.
Yeah, let me just say, and I'm not disagreeing with your overall point. The only upside to it is you gave away a fourth this year, a third next year, and a second the year after. So it's kind of like you're putting off to the future the higher pick.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to disagree with you, Robert. And Mike Sielski wrote a good column about this morning in the Choir. They need more than what they're doing. They need more than cosmetic change. They need a full rebuild, and the question is whether Fletcher is willing and able to do a full rebuild.
Well, what do you think? If he has another bad season, is he around? I think he's gone.
Fletcher's gone. Fletcher's gone if they have a bad season.
And I look at the Rangers. Now I look at the Devils. Surprised they drafted number two because, they got some star power on that team, as do the Rangers. What star power does the Flyers have? I can't name a star.
There isn't a star.
Kevin Hayes, $7 million. He's averaged 12 goals a season. We've had him for 4 years. Ellis is never playing. That guy's done. He was damaged goods when we got him. These moves that he's made, I don't know why he's still here. And I think now he's, mortgaging the future. That's my feeling, this whole thing.
And you said it well, no doubt.
Yeah, and Glenn, it feels like they should have blown it to bits. I'm not talking process Sixers, but it feels like it should have been more of a concerted effort to rebuild it. It feels like they're trying to remake this on the fly.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take the Eagles out of this conversation because I think Howie's GM for life.
Mm.
All right. Give me the order in which these guys leave from soonest to latest of Fletcher, Dave Dombrowski, and Daryl Morey.
Fletcher will leave first.
Okay.
Dombrowski and then Morey. I don't think any of them are long-termers. Dombrowski, certainly at his age, isn't going to be around forever. But I just get a sense that Morey's not going to be around forever. So that's
you have him as the second longest. So we're going to have a lot of news coming up.
There's going to be a lot of changes. I mean, Dombrowski's an older guy. I think Chuck Fletcher is hanging by. I think, frankly, they should have made a move on him after this past season. So I don't think he's – I think he's a short-termer. And, yeah, I would completely concur with you with Howie. He's not going anywhere.
No.
And look, he's had two monster off-seasons.
I'm not looking to fire him.
No,
I have no problem whatsoever in that regard.
Absolutely.
215-592-9494. He's Rob Ellis. I'm Glenn Macnow. Coming up, we are going to tell you about a show that Rob and I both started watching this week that we highly recommend. Rob, one of the things over the years when Ray and I do what we're watching that I find is – like, people will see me during the week, and occasionally they'll say, what do you think of that Phillies move? And I'll give my answer. I get 10 times the amount of people who come up to me and say, so what show should I be watching? So,
I love that segment. I love I listen every week.
We know where the bread is buttered.
I hear
215-592-9494 with Rob Ellis. I'm Glenn Macnow on 94 WIP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey, what are you gonna do? Nice college boy, huh? Didn't want to get mixed up in the family business? Now you want to gun down a police captain? Why, because he slapped you in the face a little bit? Huh? What do you think, this is the army where you shoot him a mile away? You gotta get up close like this, and bada-bing, you blow their brains all over your nice Ivy League suit. Come here.
Well, what you just heard was an historic moment in media, which was the invention of the term bada-bing. Which I came to learn later that James Caan, well, there were a lot of improvised moments in The Godfather, and James Caan, kind of on the spur of the moment in that scene where he's explaining to Michael that he can't shoot the cop, which Michael does eventually, just kind of dropped that little musical phrase, bada bing, into his description of, I guess, up-close assassination, something that he'd been involved with, but something that Michael had not previously. And I read that James Caan got the phrase from Carmine Persico when he was researching the role of Carmine Persico being a real mobster, and later became what the Sopranos named the strip club and something that people use all the time.
Always.
How about that for knowledge, Rob L?
That is serious research right there, Glenn.
There,
but it's fitting, though. I mean,
all right. This is what we're watching, sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Windows' big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit them at goguida.com. So James Caan died today, Saturday, Thursday. Let me get your take, and then I want to give you my favorite James Caan sports movies.
A titan, really. I mean, you're talking a guy throughout the... Well, he was mostly doing TV in the 60s, but who was just an absolute monster, a beast in the 70s in terms of some of the movies and some of the roles, which started with one of them. You'll get into your sports movies, but also just one of the biggest tearjerkers in the history of, you know, made-for-TV films, Brian's Song. And follow that up the next year with The Godfather, which is, think about that year that he had right there. But yeah, I mean, just an absolute titan, you know, and one of those guys who you felt like, Glenn, lived it. Away from the screen, too. You know, he was classic Playboy Mansion, you know,
he was consuming
everything he could consume, if you know what I'm saying.
He
was one of those guys, too. I loved everything he was in. Even the Elf, I thought he was great in.
He was good in Elf. Yeah,
so
he was.
I'm a huge fan. I hate seeing these guys go.
I know. Sonny was, of course, the huge role. You mentioned Brian's Song, where he played Brian Piccolo. Which I love. What people remember is it was a made-for-TV movie that if you didn't see it when it was on TV, people never saw it, but people watched it. And years ago, when Ray and I wrote our book, The Ultimate Book of Sports Movies, and we asked athletes and broadcasters and actors their all-time favorite sports movies, we were amazed at how many of them named Brian's Song and how many of them, and I'll give you two I remember, Larry Zonka and Brian Baldinger, two tough guys, right? Said that movie made them cry.
That hit a real chord, right? Because I can see it with NFL players too. But the friendship that those two had, and you know, rooming together in the '60s, mid '60s, when this stuff wasn't done, an African American player,
guy.
Yeah,
right.
That was a big deal. But the camaraderie that those two had, and let's face it, Glenn, those scenes when Piccolo's dying, God, man, and when Sarah's giving
Brian Piccolo.
Yeah, and I want you to love him tonight too. Like when Billy Dee Williams is delivering that speech, if you're not in tears, you got problems, man. You got to check your emotions.
He was also in the program where he plays Coach Sam Winters at Eastern State University, which I thought he did a terrific job at. That was a really good movie. Omar Epps was very good in that movie as
he was a running
Jefferson.
Back.
I know. I think his name was Darnell Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good in a movie that very few people have seen, and I recommend if you can find this and play it, it's great. Called The Gambler, where he played a college professor, Axel Fried, who's he's got a sports betting addiction, and it's just getting worse and worse during the movie. He ends up stealing money from his mom. He ends up trying to convince one of the students in his class who plays for the basketball team to shave points, and just gets more and more desperate. It's a terrific movie, and he's great in it, called The Gambler. Mm-hmm. And then one of my own favorites that I still watch this one every 5 years or so. You ever see the original Rollerball?
I've never seen that.
Ellis, come on. Get in the game.
Very 70s, that
oh,
one.
Oh, totally 70s.
For sure. But no, I've heard he's great. Is that the one that Raquel Welch is also in?
No, she's not in it.
Oh, okay.
No, that's about Rollerball. That's about roller derby.
Okay.
This is based on a fictional futuristic sport. The funny thing is the movie is set in, like, the future, 2019, right? And you see it and, like, well, these things don't happen.
Yeah.
Although everybody's always staring into a screen, which kind of that did happen. But everything, actually, maybe it did all happen because it's about corporate feudalism and sports becoming more and more vicious and people becoming addicted to it. And he is his name is Jonathan E. He's the captain and star of the Houston Rollerball team. I don't want to tell you he's supposed to do something that he refuses to do. And then he spends the whole rest of the movie trying to save his life. And there's great comment about homegrown fascism and bloodlust and all that, but laughed.
Sounds like it.
The remake was terrible. The original was great.
Okay.
So he passed away. And then last night I'm getting ice cream on my summer vacation and I learned that Tony Sirico, Paulie Walnuts passed away.
I mean, how much more can we take here? Yeah. I mean, really?
Here you go.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you. Ultimate Paulie Walnuts episode.
Oh, it's Pine Barrens. That's a GOAT episode, period, but it's the Pine Barrens.
Yeah.
The ultimate
Christopher.
Yeah.
Sucking packets of ketchup in the freezer.
Because they wouldn't go to Roy Rogers earlier when Christopher begged him because he was starving and Paul wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
And the greatest is Tony Soprano's phone is breaking up the flip phones back then.
Yeah.
And he's trying to explain to him, like, this guy's the real deal that you're hunting down. Like, understand what you're dealing with. And all Paulie can make of it is he killed 16 Czechoslovakians and he's an interior designer.
Hold on. You call for it.
All right.
Kyle Quinn's got it.
He was with the Interior Ministry. Guy's some kind of Russian Green Beret. This guy cannot come back to tell this story. You understand?
I hear you.
There is Paulie.
Paul? Paul, you there?
Call me back!
You're not going to believe this. He killed 16 Czechoslovakians. Guy was an interior decorator.
His house looked like
Christopher's line is killing too.
It's great.
Oh, so good.
So I read a thing last night that Tony Sirico, the actor, was in prison.
It's true.
And they had a visiting troupe of actors who were ex-cons come in to do a show for the guys. And he's watching, this is what I'm going to do. And he did it.
He left the mob. He completely changed his life around. And he was obviously an older guy. And he has a couple little cameos in Goodfellas and some other stuff.
Yeah.
If you go back and really pay attention closely. But yeah, I mean, he was, I think that scene, Glenn, and that episode and the other one where he's explaining the bacteria that's on your shoelaces.
Oh, well, you go to the urinal and you tie your shoe.
He's literally cooking dinner for them at Satriali's, and it's hilarious. The whole scene is hilarious. He was awesome.
Okay, so let's get to the show we're watching. We appreciate people on hold. We're going to get you guys coming right up. I started watching a show the other day called The Bear. One thing television does really well these days is food. There are terrific cooking shows. There's a whole network about it. There are restaurant reality shows. I've told people to watch that Stanley Tucci in Italy show, and they make food look so delicious. It makes your eyes water just to see it. So now there's a new drama on TV about food, about restaurants, and it's called The Bear. Big summer hit on FX Hulu. And it centers on a talented young chef named Carmen. The actor's Jeremy Allen White, who played Lip in Shameless, which was a terrific show. going home to run his dead brother's sandwich shop in working class Chicago after being a celebrity chef in California. Let me just set it up, Rob, and I'll get your take, because I appreciate that after I mentioned this, you started watching it last night. So he, the character, is leaving behind stardom, you know, the three-star Michelin restaurant, to go to work for the equivalent of a hoagie shop, a cheesesteak joint in Chicago. And it's roast beef places. I've been to Chicago, and they are good. And so you don't get to see as much food porn as you get to see how the sausage is made. With a large cast drama about characters that you'll end up caring about. It's also a show where watching it, you sometimes find it difficult to breathe. I've never worked in a restaurant, Rob. I don't know if you have, but everything seems frenetic and fast-paced, on the verge of chaos, and the show puts you there in the kitchen. And I'm breaking out into sweats while I'm watching it, but I'm really liking it.
You use the word that I have written down, frenetic, and the action in it is all, you really get an idea the pressure that they're under, how quickly they have to move, what has to be going on there. You really get a sense for all of that. And I don't want to give too much away, but there's flashbacks as well that give you an idea of the kind of immense pressure that this guy was under.
Oh, man.
Incredible.
I think you want to be a chef. I don't know if that's a good
way to make a living. You're going to have some second thoughts if that's the case. But the action is awesome. What they do too really well, they give you a little sort of tease of the backstory and kind of where we're headed with certain little morsels that they'll drop for you that you're like, oh, I got to find out what this is all about. And they do a great job of that. I'll tell you one other thing I love about it. The soundtrack is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal soundtrack. It's really well done.
Yes.
And you don't get that much anymore because they don't want to pay rights fees.
And the songs run from the 70s up through now. And whoever picks the music does a great job. That's a very good point.
It's well done.
And basically the bottom line of the plot is, as I said, he comes home and you'll recognize him as Lip if you watch that. And he's grieving and he's clashing with his sister and with the staff at the restaurant. And there's like the abrasive best friend know-it-all, but he's trying to turn a greasy spoon into something more as everybody's kind of going against his ideas. It captures life on the line in a restaurant kitchen, but it also has a lot of good subplots and good characters and heightened emotions, and I'm three episodes in and not sure my plans for the rest of the day. Oh, by the way, they're only half an hour, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you could rip through them.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think there are 10 episodes in the end, or 8 episodes. Maybe there's 8
episodes. I think it's 8. Yeah.
I think it's 8. So you watch the whole thing in 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I may have my post-dinner plans tonight.
Let me give you one other thing that caught my eye. And at the time, I couldn't quite picture who it was. There's a counselor. I don't want to give too much away in it. You know who it is, Glenn? It's Molly Ringwald.
Well, yes.
With dark hair.
Know that. You know what? I'm looking at the credits.
Well,
I saw that's episode 3, and I'm looking at the credits like, Molly Ringwald?
You know how
And my wife said, yeah, that was the counselor. I was like, get out of here.
Yeah. Like, I swear to you, I'm not kidding. So I'm looking at this woman, and I thought at first it might have been Ally Sheedy, who was also in Breakfast Club. But it turns out it's Molly Ringwald with black hair.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah. All right. Anyway. You and I both recommend The Bear on FX Hulu. Watch it. It's 8 half-hour episodes, and I plan to finish that tonight. Good stuff. All right, let's get to David. You're on with Rob and Glenn. Hey, David. David. All right, we have people calling us today who are either impatient or
kind of like your theory on the
disappearing into the ether.
Not watching games in their entire
life. Yes, that's right. They're waiting for the highlights.
Exactly.
Stick around. All right, Bob in Prospect Park. Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning, man.
Hey, buddy.
How you guys doing?
Good.
The movie you're talking about with Raquel Welch in it is the Roller Derby. That was Kansas City Bomber with Kevin McCarthy in it.
Yes. And by the way, a very fun movie.
Yep. And Raquel was one of my all-time favorites. She's still a good-looking woman, darn it.
Oh, that's fine. I haven't seen her since that Seinfeld episode, and that's got to be 20 years ago.
Oh, she's got a beautiful daughter, too, named Taryn, that was in the... I think, what was that movie with the in St. Petersburg with Gutenberg in it?
Okay.
With the pods and the water.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, she's beautiful. Taryn Welch.
Rob is Googling as we speak. Go ahead.
I think Johnny Gaudreau would really be a good fix for the Flyers. We need a face for this franchise. and D'Angelo. Hopefully things don't get messy in the locker room. I think Tortorello would keep him in place, but they need a little more life in the locker room. They show no emotion on the ice. I think D'Angelo might be the guy to bring it.
The biggest sin the Flyers had last year, and there were many, is that they were just too boring to watch. We're talking about watching games versus watching highlights. The Flyers were impossible to watch a game. And when you saw that, Rob, was when you actually watched the postseason. And we know that hockey, the Stanley Cup playoffs are, you know, 10 times more exciting than the regular season.
Right.
But it was an entirely different sport.
Yeah, it was. They are so far away. I mean, they are so far away. This wasn't a couple injuries. This wasn't the fact that they lost Coots. It had a lot more to do with it than that. I mean, this has been systematic issues. This has been, you know, systematic whiffs in the draft for years. Poor choices on you know, free agent signings and trades. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight to get to where they are.
By the way, I'm not sure you're aware of this. I am boycotting all hockey nicknames until the Flyers.
Can't go Coots anymore?
Round of the players, playoffs.
Fair enough.
No,
yeah.
Coots, none of them.
Nobody's earned a nickname at this
Heartsy,
point.
Heartsy, none of it. I refuse.
Torts? Right. You can't even go Torts?
No, I'm not doing Torts. Okay. If he gets to the second round of the playoffs, we can go
Then torts. He's Torts. He's just John?
Well, Tortorella or right. John, yes. Coach T, whatever.
Coach T.
Okay, David was apparently under a bridge a moment ago. You have emerged, David?
Yes, with a combination of going under a bridge and my facial socket, seeing gas price in Pennsylvania at $4.55. I'm like, wow, that's cheaper than I paid in Jersey.
You know what's amazing? So I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was paying $5, whatever, 2-3 weeks ago, and now I saw essentially the same, like $4.52. And for a second, I'm thinking, what a bargain!
Great deal.
And then you realize, like, they've just conditioned you to give up.
It is. We see four, and we're like, we're drooling at the mouth.
Right. It's crazy.
Well,
I
was there. I actually had to leave to go to Virginia on Sunday. I was there 2 weeks ago. I filled up a box truck, and I'm just watching the number go up to $164. And by the time I got to Wilmington, Delaware, I had to put in another $100 to top it off.
Oh. Now, all right, so you wanted to talk about watching games versus watching highlights.
Yeah, you know what the change is? It's one gentleman said it's the time. It's not the time, because people can binge watch a lot of the streaming stuff. It's partly the product, the personalities. I think something with the Twitter and the Facebook that brings them in your face takes away that mystery,
mm-hmm.
and the personalities just aren't as strong to back it up. You put Muhammad Ali on Twitter, and Twitter breaks. But there's no personality of that level that's worthy of it. So you don't, you know, you watch them. I could take 30 minutes, 15 minutes. That is what it is. And I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm almost all football. I've checked in on the Sixers. I haven't watched the whole basketball game.
All right, so but you make it, you brought it up in an interesting way, and I think that you, how old are you, David?
42.
All right, so you're right in the middle,
yeah.
Which is good. And I got to let you go. Say hi to your sister.
Thanks,
me.
David.
I hope you're well. It's the personalities more than the game that interests people the younger they get, I believe.
Yeah, it's drama. One of the reasons why there's a popularity with the NBA.
An old Andy Blum line.
Well, it's true. I mean, there's a blast from the past.
All the drama.
One of the reasons the NBA is as popular as it is because it's a soap opera. It's Kyrie Irving. It's Kevin Durant. It's this guy wants out. This guy isn't playing. Why isn't he playing? This guy's sitting on the. It's not about, did you see the pick that was just set there for the screen?
Right. The
pick and roll.
Beautiful play.
Yeah, those days are gone. It's become Hollywood. It's become entertainment a lot more, the process. It's not about so much what's even happening on the court. It's everything surrounding it.
That's a good point. 215-592-9494. Hey, the summer heat means it's that time of year to crank up the AC. Keep your home cooling more efficiently, and to help you save on high energy bills, I suggest you go Guida and finally replace your old drafty, inefficient windows and doors with the great people at Guida Door & Window. Right now, Guida is offering the best discounts of the year with their big 40% off summer sales event on all expertly installed windows and doors, you receive 40% off each window you buy. That's right, 40% off all high-performance, energy-efficient, triple-pane windows, and you receive 40% off any door, including insulated entry doors, patio doors, garage doors, and storm doors. Plus, get your project started today with no money down. Pay it off interest-free for up to 18 full months. All prior sales excluded, minimum purchase required. Don't let this pass you by. Go Guide It today. Call to schedule a free in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit them at goguida.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com.
It looked like his right hand. It was his left hand in Atlanta, correct? Or no, New York. New York. Was his right. Yep. Was his left hand. This is not good.
Well, he's walking off already, so he knows.
This is not good.
Yeah.
Well, that was back on May 31st when Gene Segura broke his right index finger. He had surgery on June 3rd, had pins inserted. Philly said he expected to miss 10 to 12 weeks, which takes you to the middle of August. He said the other day that he had the pins taken out and thinks that he will be able to join the Phillies much earlier than expected, which would be good news. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mark Pollard is our guest from Cooper, Bone & Joint. Always like to talk to our experts from Cooper, Bone & Joint. So, Doc, I know that you haven't been following the details of Gene Segura's injury, but he had the pins, had them taken out. I know the pins are put in to stabilize it. Is it feasible that once you get the pins taken out, you can rush the recovery process?
Yeah, it's possible. You know, everybody heals at a little bit of a different rate. And so, you know, the pins are put in to hold the pieces of bone in place so that they'll heal together in the, you know, acceptable position. And then once the, you know, x-rays show that there's been healing enough to stabilize it, oftentimes, you know, the pins can be removed. Usually you need to wait a little bit more time, you know, several more weeks after the pins are removed before going to full activity, as, you know, the healing is not quite complete usually at that time, but it's pretty close. So I guess the short answer to your question is yes, it is possible, but the timeline might be a little bit faster.
Doc, let me ask you, how much do the pins expedite the healing? That's what we heard when Harper got hurt, that, hey, if it was you or me, you just cast it and, you know, whatever, but this could get him back a little bit quicker. How much can that speed things up?
Difficult to quantify, but certainly, you know, several weeks at least. You know, the pins are there to stabilize the bones. The more the bones are stabilized, the more the healing can take place. If the pins aren't in place, there can still be, you know, a little bit of motion or so-called micromotion at the fracture site, which kind of makes the healing backtrack a little bit and can make the process take a little bit longer.
Well, we hope to get these players back as soon as possible. Obviously, Bryce Harper being a huge part of the Phillies' hopes to win the season, getting Gene Segura back would be helpful. Dr. Mark Pollard of Cooper, Bone & Joint, is always our pleasure to check in with you. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. There you go. We'd like to get them back. We'd like to get Ranger Suarez back, who's out with back spasms. Do you ever get back spasms, Rob Ellen?
No, I've had a pinched nerve, which runs from my lower back through my rear end and down my legs, which is not fun.
That's a good time.
Do you enjoy that visual I just gave you? You're welcome.
Yeah, okay. But
Glenn, all the more remarkable what they're doing here. No Harper, no Segura.
Yeah.
Down two of their starting rotation, two fifths of their starting rotation. It's pretty wild.
It's very impressive. They got, three more with the Cards, right? It's a four-game series.
Yeah, it's a wraparound. You have the Monday game as well. Yep.
Right, and the Cards are one of those teams that they're really going to have to be fighting for the wild card. Phillies have been beating good teams. I know they played Washington and beat them and played the Marlins, although they always have problems with the Marlins. But what's impressive with the Phillies is you can't say they're not beating good teams, because they've done well against Milwaukee. They've done well against the Cardinals. They've done well against the Padres. And a lot of those games on the road.
No doubt. And I have good news for you.
Yeah, we got.
Guess what? Guess who's not in the lineup today?
Odubel.
You are correct, right? Sir. Well, Matt Vierling.
The Vierling and the Moniak. We get the Vierling?
You get a Vierling, yes.
I'll take it.
Which
Vierling.
Is the best option by
Batting
far.
Batting ninth in center field?
Eighth.
Hey.
Stubby's hitting.
I'm a big Stubby fan.
Love Stubby. What's not to love?
Everybody does. Hey, you know what? This is a highlight. One of our favorites is checking in. Always love when we get to hear from Linda from Ballard. What's up, girl?
Everything wonderful, Mr. Ellis. How are
Hi,
you,
Linda.
Sweetheart?
How are we? How you doing?
We are just beautiful. My Phillies, you know, and Glennie. It's
yes,
always dear. Lovely to hear your dulcet tones, honey.
I've been called dulcet many times, or at least part of that word.
It's just always, dear, my true love. I am so happy with my boys because I'll tell you the truth. When Harper went out, I was sick to my stomach. Because the way he was hitting, I thought, you know, they cannot be unaffected by this. The man goes up there and hits he looks for a home run, he gets it. I mean, really, don't even have to swing the bat. And when he went down his little hand, I thought about that. And I thought, all these hands and fingers getting broke. Yeah. And then just between us, I don't think Ranger Suarez is the starter. I'm sorry. I don't care.
I heard somebody else mention that the other day, and it got me thinking about it, which he was a very effective bullpen piece, but effective as a starter. But the problem with that, Lynn, is if he returns to the bullpen, who's taking his place in the rotation?
I know that, but now we're starting to see where, and I don't know if you guys agree with me, they got to make a couple trades. They got to get remember when they got the Gucci?
When Utley got hurt. Utley got hurt and they brought him in, yeah.
They need to make a move like this for a pitcher, or how about going to the A's and plucking one of them? You understand?
Yeah, I guess the question is, so you're going to give up prospects, right? You're already Hop or Painter. Those are the prospects, right? Am I missing anybody, Rob?
Yeah, there's a couple of arms in the lower levels, but Ohapi would certainly be in the discussion as far as close prospects. I don't think they're going to give any of those up, but I agree with Linda. You need a starter badly. That's the move I would make.
Yeah. Lynn, we got to run. You know we love you.
I love you too. Thank you so much.
All right, it's going well.
Thanks, Lynn.
Take care.
To me, Glenn, the debate is always: is it a reliever? Is it a starter? Is it a position player? For me, if I'm prioritizing, they could use all of three, by the way. But if I'm prioritizing, it's a starter. Because I don't trust Eflin to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening right now with Suarez, and I prefer to keep him in the rotation. By the way,
and Gibson's really been
and Gibson's been a disaster. Yeah. Who's going to go today?
Yeah. So, what's the center field situation for the rest of the year?
I would play Vierling every day in center, personally.
Can you get by?
I think you could get by when Segura and Harper get back. It's not ideal. Look, right now you're doing it without any offensive contribution from a lot of different positions, and I don't know how much longer you can keep that going. I mean, we keep saying Castellanos has to get going, and you want some more consistency out of Real Muto. No better time than the present.
Yeah, I hear that. 215-592-9494. Neil Warren, everybody, stick around. We will get you. But coming up, we're going to talk to Bo Wolf. Does a great job covering the Eagles for The Athletic. They did a look through all their 32 correspondents and asked them, what's the biggest concern with the franchise you cover? I'm just going to tell you that for Bo Wolf, the answer was not Jalen Hurts. So we'll find out what it was coming up. With Rob Ellis, I'm Glenn Mack. Now, Saturday morning as it turns to noon on 94 WIP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
like his right hand. It was his left hand in Atlanta, correct? Or no, New York. Was his left hand. This is not good.
Well, he's walking off already, so he knows.
This is not good.
Yeah.
Well, that was back on May 31st when Gene Segura broke his right index finger. He had surgery on June 3rd, had pins inserted. Philly said he expected to miss 10 to 12 weeks, which takes you to the middle of August. He said the other day that he had the pins taken out and thinks that he will be able to join the Phillies much earlier than expected, which would be good news. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mark Pollard is our guest from Cooper, Bone, and Joint. Always like to talk to our experts from Cooper, Bone, and Joint. So, Doc, I know that you haven't been following the details of Gene Segura's injury, but he had the pins, had them taken out. I know the pins are put in to stabilize it. Is it feasible that once you get the pins taken out, you can rush the recovery process?
Yeah, it's possible. Everybody heals at a little bit of a different rate. And so, the pins are put in to hold the pieces of bone in place so that they'll heal together in the, acceptable position. And then once the, x-rays show that there's been healing enough to stabilize it, oftentimes, the pins can be removed. Usually you need to wait a little bit more time, several more weeks after the pins are removed before going to full activity, as, the healing is not quite complete usually at that time, but it's pretty close. So I guess the short answer to your question is yes, it is possible that the timeline might be a little bit faster.
Doc, let me ask you, how much do the pins expedite the healing? That's what we heard when Harper got hurt, that, hey, if it was you or me, you just cast it and, whatever, but this could get him back a little bit quicker. How much can that speed things up?
Difficult to quantify, but certainly, several weeks at least. The pins are there to stabilize the bones. The more the bones are stabilized, the more the healing can take place. If the pins aren't in place, there can still be, a little bit of motion or so-called micromotion at the fracture site, which kind of makes the healing backtrack a little bit and can make the process take a little bit longer.
Well, we hope to get these players back as soon as possible. Obviously, Bryce Harper being a huge part of the Phillies' hopes to win the season, and getting Gene Segura back would be helpful. Dr. Mark Pollard of Cooper, Bone, and Joint, is always our pleasure to check in with you. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. There you go. We'd like to get them back. We'd like to get Ranger Suarez back, who's out with back spasms. Do you ever get back spasms, Rob Ellen?
No, I've had a pinched nerve, which runs from my lower back through my rear end and down my legs, which is not fun.
That's a good time.
Do you enjoy that visual I just gave you? You're welcome.
Yeah, okay. But
Glenn, all the more remarkable what they're doing here. No Harper, no Segura.
Yeah.
Down two of their starting rotation, two-fifths of their starting rotation. It's pretty wild.
It's very impressive. They got, three more with the Cards, right? It's a four-game series.
Yeah, it's a wraparound. You have the Monday game as well. Yep.
Right, and the Cards are one of those teams that they're really going to have to be fighting for the wild card. Phillies have been beating good teams. I know they played Washington and beat them and played the Marlins, although they always have problems with the Marlins. But what's impressive with the Phillies is you can't say they're not beating good teams, because they've done well against Milwaukee. They've done well against the Cardinals. They've done well against the Padres, and a lot of those games on the road.
No doubt. And I have good news for you.
Yeah, we got.
Guess what? Guess who's not in the lineup today?
Odubel.
You are correct, right, sir? Well, Matt Vierling.
The Vierling and the Moniak. We get the Vierling?
You get a Vierling, yes.
I'll take it.
Which
Vierling
is the best option by far.
Batting ninth in center field?
Eighth. Stubby. Stubby's hitting.
I'm a big Stubby fan.
Love Stubby. What's not to love?
Everybody does. Hey, you know what? This is a highlight. One of our favorites is checking in. Always love when we get to hear from Linda from Bala. What's up, girl?
Everything wonderful. Mr. Ellis, how are
Hi,
you,
Linda?
Sweetheart?
How are we? How you doing?
We are just beautiful. My Phillies, and Glennie. It's always lovely to hear your dulcet tones, honey.
I've been called dulcet many times, or at least part of that word.
It's just always, dear, my true love. I am so happy with my boys, because I'll tell you the truth. When Harper went out, I was sick to my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
because the way he was hitting, I thought, you know, they cannot be unaffected by this. The man goes up there and hits a, he looks for a home run, he gets it. I mean, really, don't even have to swing the bat. And when he went down his little hand, I thought about that. And I thought, all these hands and fingers getting broke. Yeah. And then, just between us, I don't think Ranger Suarez is the starter. I'm sorry. I don't care.
I heard somebody else mention that the other day, and it got me thinking about it, which he was a very effective bullpen piece, but effective as a starter. But the problem with that, Lynn, is if he returns to the bullpen, who's taking his place in the rotation?
I know that, but now we're starting to see where, and I don't know if you guys agree with me, they got to make a couple trades. They got to get, remember when they got the Gucci?
When Utley got hurt. Utley got hurt and they brought him in, yeah.
They need to make a move like this. For a pitcher, or how about going to the A's and plucking one of them? You understand?
I guess the question is, so you're going to give up prospects, right? You're already Hop or Painter. Those are the prospects, right? Am I missing anybody, Rob?
Yeah, there's a couple of arms in the lower levels, but Ohapi would certainly be in the discussion as far as close prospects. I don't think they're going to give any of those up, but I agree with Linda. You need a starter badly. That's the move I would make.
Yeah. Lynn, we got to run. You know we love you.
I love you too. Thank you so much.
All right, be well.
Thanks, Lynn.
Take care.
To me, Glenn, the debate is always: is it a reliever? Is it a starter? Is it a position player? For me, if I'm prioritizing, they could use all of three, by the way. But if I'm prioritizing, it's a starter because I don't trust Eflin to stay healthy. Yeah. I don't know what's happening right now with Suarez, and I prefer to keep him in the rotation. By the way,
and Gibson's really been
and Gibson's been a disaster. Yeah. Who's going to go today?
Yeah. So, what's the center field situation for the rest of the year?
I would play Vierling every day in center, personally.
Can you get by?
I think you could get by when Segura and Harper get back. It's not ideal. Look, right now you're doing it without any offensive contribution from a lot of different positions, and I don't know how much longer you can keep that going. I mean, we keep saying Castellanos has to get going and you want some more consistency out of Real Muto. No better time than the present.
Yeah, I hear that. 215-592-9494. Neil Warren, everybody, stick around. We will get you. But coming up, we're going to talk to Bo Wolf. Does a great job covering the Eagles for The Athletic. They did a look through all their 32 correspondents and asked them, what's the biggest concern with the franchise you cover? I'm just going to tell you that for Bo Wolf, the answer was not Jalen Hurts. So we'll find out what it was coming up. With Rob Ellis, I'm Glenn Mack. Now, Saturday morning as it turns to noon on 94 WIP.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.